But we're going to read God's Word from Galatians chapter 5 for our message this morning. We are continuing our study in the fruit of the Spirit, where we began last week. We are going to consider all those terrible things in the new year that are the works of the flesh. But we have begun here with the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, young man. And we are going to begin our reading this morning at verse 22. Verse 22 of Galatians 5. Let us hear God's word. In contrast to all of this terrible manifestations of the flesh, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that is, self-control. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, pride, provoking one another in the wrong sense, envying one another. May God help us that we will walk in the Spirit and avoid these things. We trust that as we end our reading there at the close of that fifth chapter, that the Spirit of God will come today and bless His word to us as we meditate upon it. Let us pray together. O Lord, we confess our absolute need of Thee, that without Thee we can do nothing. And Lord, it does grieve us when we think that unless Thou didst give us life and breath, we couldn't even sin. Lord, we need Thee. Please help us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, it is our privilege to think of one of the happiest words in our English language, joy, the second part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is a celestial, heavenly word brought down to this earth from heaven. And I hope that you will agree with me. If you listen carefully today, I think you will agree that joy finds its source in God, in heaven. For at the creation of this earth, we read in Job chapter 38 and verse 7, that the sons of God, that is the angels, shouted for joy as the Lord created this earth. Joy is another name for the eternal kingdom of God. You think about that. For at the final judgment, our Savior will say, as He said in Matthew 25, 21, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. As Romans 14:7 declares, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. As the Puritan Thomas Watson stated so well, here on earth, joy begins to enter into us. But there, with the Lord in eternity, we will enter into joy. So this morning, first of all, let us ask and answer the question, what is joy? Joy is the exciting delight or the supreme satisfaction of soul that we receive simply in knowing that something vastly and eternally valuable is ours. Something eternally valuable belongs to us personally. That brings us great joy. Now, the second question, what valuable possessions belong to those who are in Christ? Well, those possessions begin first with that very question, those that are in Christ. That is our position, being in Him, what a possession that is. Because before we were born of God, the Holy Spirit, the Scripture tells us at that time, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. We were outside of Christ. We were without Christ. But what a blessing it is. What a marvelous possession it is to be brought into Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. As the Puritan Matthew Poole wrote, joy is the sole satisfaction with being in union with Jesus Christ. Being in Christ is being in union with Him by faith alone. That union with Christ that is affected by the Holy Spirit at our effectual calling is a spiritual, living, eternal union with Christ given to us simply by faith. As Mary said in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. When a person is convinced that God is their Savior, they will naturally react with a sense of deep delight, joy in the Lord, rejoicing. Mary said that her spirit rejoiced. Now, right in the middle of that word is our word joy. The Greek word for our morning subject of joy occurs 113 times in our New Testament. It's very interesting because it's divided, not evenly, but three ways. 13 times in the New Testament, well, I'm sorry, 16 times of those 113, it is translated gladness or to be glad. 37 times, rejoice, rejoice, or rejoicing. The other 60 times, it's joy. So we are thinking of joy, rejoicing, and gladness. That was the experience of the Father that received His returning prodigal son. For remember what He said in Luke 15, verse 32. He said that we should make merry and be glad because my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And you know, this is exactly what our triune God and Father does over His redeemed people. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Listen, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now that's a prophecy, but I don't believe that it's awaiting all of its fulfillment. Because surely the Lord is not waiting till all of us get home to sing and rejoice. That joy in heaven that is spoken of twice in those parables there in Luke 15, over the lost sheep and the lost coin, is not just the rejoicing of the angels of God. But if you look at verse 10 of Luke chapter 15, it tells us that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God, literally in front of the angels of God. And who's in front of the angels of God but the Lord Himself? And God is rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth. The triune God is rejoicing in front of the angels there in glory. So He's the rejoicing one. And we must hurry on now to sum up what we possess in Christ, which is so eternally valuable and even beyond our thoughts. What do we possess? Joy is that great delight that comes upon us when we understand that we possess that which is eternally valuable. Romans 8:32 assures us that since God the Father did not spare His only Son, but delivered Him up, gave Him up to the death of the cross for us, that He will, with Christ, freely give us all things. Everything that is eternally valuable, He gives to us. What does He give us? He gives us election and predestination. He gives us effectual calling and justification, adoption and sanctification. And ultimately, He will give us glorification. And we are kept by the power of God waiting that day. 1 Peter 1:5. As Christ said to His apostles when they were finished and they were flushed with their success on their first evangelistic mission, they came back and they rejoiced that the demons were subject to them. And the Lord said in Luke 10:20, to rejoice not that the spirits are in subjection, are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And here is cause for great joy, knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. By being in Christ, all these blessings are ours. And all these blessings produce and contribute joy into our lives. So we have asked, what is joy? What possessions are ours in Christ? And finally, what can make our joy full? Do you have full joy today? Or do you just have partial joy today? The Spirit of God moved John to write in 1 John 1:4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Wouldn't that cause the Lord to rejoice for your joy to be full today? For my joy to be full? The Holy Spirit is the producer of joy in the life of the believer. Our text, Galatians 5:22, tells us that it is a fruit of the Spirit, is love and joy. Now, and peace and all those other wonderful virtues. But the same Holy Spirit moved the writers of Scriptures to declare to us what will make our joy full. It is the will and purpose of God to grant to the child of God greater and greater joy as we learn greater and greater conformity and obedience to God's holy word. This is the process known as sanctification. Sanctification is the work of God's Spirit, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. As we yield ourselves to God and to His Word, we will be consciously living more and more in the presence of God. And we will find that God's Word is true, as it says, in His presence is the fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Not just later, but even now, living in the presence of God. Now, these pleasures and delights are the joy produced as we yield ourselves unto God. He is the one who is at work in us. He is working His good pleasure in His elect children, giving us the will and the power to yield ourselves more and more unto Him. Remember, Philippians 2:13. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that gives us the willingness. He's the one that moves us with the power to obey him. He is working in his elect children, giving us the will and the power to yield ourselves more and more to him. And those of you that are believers know that your joy is the greatest when you're walking in the Spirit. Because we have it right here in the scripture passage we were reading this morning. Right at verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking after the Spirit rather than running after the fleeting things of the flesh. Now, as we yield ourselves to God, we understand that there are problems that we face. And the problems we are facing are temptations from outside of us, but also from this flesh of ours that tries to draw us away from the Lord and to draw us back into sin in our thinking, in our speaking, and in our doing. Our flesh would draw us back into sin in our thinking. That's why we need to endeavor to learn to think God's thoughts after him. As we read in Isaiah, his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Because it is so easy to be drawn back in our thinking, fleshly thinking, fleshly speaking, and reacting to others, and fleshly doing those things that are absolutely, obviously contrary to God's truth. This tends to greatly discourage us when we face this struggle with temptation. We get discouraged, and the accompanying loss of joy sometimes brings such doubts to us that we even wonder if we're Christians at all. You been there? Okay. But you know, the very fact that we are even desiring to pursue the Lord, even desiring grace in our lives, we can find some comfort in this. The old Puritans told us that when we desire grace, that is grace. What an encouragement that is. Well, let us use the means that God has provided for us here below, and we will see the great difference that there is between happiness and joy. For happiness depends on what happens to us, our circumstances. As long as circumstances are good, the people in this world are happy. The sun is shining, flowers are blooming, prosperity, health, and everything is moving along well. But when troubles, clouds, sickness, poverty, and death approach, all happiness vanishes. But not so with joy. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Just look at Paul and Silas as their backs were bleeding, having been beaten, and at midnight, as their feet are closed painfully in those stocks in that dungeon, what are they doing at midnight? They're singing praises to God, and the prisoners heard them, and they expressed that joy, knowing that they were in the hands of God. They did not go to Philippi and do what they were doing on their own. They were willing to go the other way, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go. He said, no, this is the way you're going. So they knew that God was going to extend his kingdom even further through their sufferings. And it is through the sufferings of God's people today that he continues to extend his kingdom through sufferings. Now, Those who are united to Christ can experience joy in the midst of suffering, because suffering as Christians is the purpose of God to carry forward and extend His kingdom. You read the New Testament. Christians then, just as Christians today, suffer, yet God uses those sufferings to extend and increase His kingdom. Christ is our pattern, for He was full of the Holy Spirit and for the joy. Underline that word. Hebrews 12. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. The joy that was set before Him, He endured because of that joy. Winning His bride, seated exalted upon that throne. The accomplishment. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. So let us pray as Jesus said in John 16:24, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You see, it's God's will for us to pray that our joy would be full. Whatever God will do in our lives, it is His purpose for us to be joyful Christians, full of joy, that our joy may be full, Jesus said. Let us pray for grace to faithfully endure our trials, because joy and the fullness of joy are our portion forever. 400 years ago, a man was about to be martyred for his faith in Christ at the city of Rome. He wrote his last letter, and he had been enduring terrible pain and torture before he would be taken out to die. He wrote this letter to his friends entitled, From the Pleasure Garden. It was no joke. Listen to what he wrote. Who will believe that which I now state? In this dark hole, I have found cheerfulness in a place of bitterness and death. I have found rest and the hope of salvation. Where others weep, I have found laughter. Where others fear, I have found strength. Who will believe that in such a state of great misery, I have had great pleasures, that in a lonely corner, I have had glorious fellowship with the Lord, and in the hardest bonds, perfect repose. All these things Jesus, my Savior, has granted me, for He is with me. He comforts me. He fills me with joy. He drives bitterness from me and gives me strength and consolation. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise Thee that the fruit of the Spirit is indeed love and joy and peace and all of these other wonderful things. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast shown us that the joy that we experience is something of the joy that God has always experienced. So, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us to use these means, the means of prayer and Thy words, for the enabling of the Spirit who produces this fruit in our lives, that we may know in every circumstance that the joy of the Lord is indeed our strength. We pray in Jesus' name.